On any given day, 17 governors from across the U.S. call on their National Guard units to help them when catastrophe strikes. This all-hazards response capability handles missions you may not even have heard about, and some you are aware of. Jack Harrison is the Director of Communications for the National Guard. He joins us to talk about the Guard's capabilities and how it's been responding to Hurricane Earl. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Good morning, Tom and Amy. How are you?
Great to have you here. So what are you doing about Earl? What's going on right now?
Well, Earl is pulling away from the Virgin Islands in Puerto Rico, which the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands is a territory of the United States, and we do have National Guard members there. Luckily, from all we can tell, the storm caused some high winds and some wind damage and some power outages, but beyond that, we haven't had any requests for significant National Guard support in the aftermath of the storm passing by Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. So we think at this point, that part of the story is fairly positive. Now the East Coast is preparing. Of course, every state along the East Coast, I think from about North Carolina north to New England, is trying to figure out what this storm is going to do. And in advance of that, each state's guard is preparing for what may eventually come from the storm.
Let's take a step back and remind our audience how this works. You can't just see a problem and rush in where others would fear to tread. You got to be asked, right?
Actually, at the state level, the National Guard is part of that first responder group.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first military responder, and the governor has control over its use of the guard in that state. So yes, there's a plan for hurricane response, and usually within a couple of hours after the passing of a storm, the guard is the first in along with civilian responders.
Okay, so let's zoom out a minute here. You have something called the Domestic All Hazards Response Team, or DART.
Right.
Tell us about DART and what its capabilities are.
Well, the DART is an element of response that the National Guard provides for the state level. It has many different capabilities, life-saving capability, medical capability, those kinds of things, as well as engineering, law enforcement capability, and it's tailored for the particular incident that it may or may not be responded to at any given time.
So what is the preparation right now? I mean, we know what's happened already down in the Caribbean. What are you getting ready for to come on the eastern seaboard?
Well, I think the key along the eastern seaboard is sort of identifying the assets that are available right now should they be needed to respond. Typically in these kinds of situations, if the storm were to get real close to the coast and cause wind and water damage, you'd need high water vehicles, you'd need engineers to clear roadways and those kinds of things. And so the states are identifying those capabilities and those assets. And then I think lastly and very important is individual preparation. My message would be to everybody who lives in that particular path to make sure that they're listening to their local authorities, listening to the National Guard if in fact they get called out, and preparing for the potential for the storm to get closer to the coast than what's currently being forecast.
We're speaking with Jack Harrison, Director of Communications for the National Guard, and since it is close to the fifth anniversary of Katrina, I was wondering, what are the lessons learned that the Guard has inculcated since Katrina, when pretty much everyone was tested to the limits?
I think the big one is interoperability among communications. During Katrina, there were so many different frequencies being used, and people couldn't talk across those frequencies to each other. And I think that's been one of the biggest lessons learned taken away from Katrina.
And is that situation remedied now?
Yes, I think by and large, we have spent a great deal of time and effort and resources to try and become interoperable with our other first responding partners.
I want to go back even further in the history books to Hurricane Hugo. My dad was with the 251st Medical Company, National Guard in South Carolina during Hurricane Hugo, so, you know, I didn't see him for about a month. But
right.
I remember the National Guard response in the state of South Carolina was a big medical response for people who had been hurt or worse. But the National Guard does a lot more than that. I mean, there's communication, there's food, there's fuel. Give us sort of a rundown of what it is you do.
Well, post-storm, I think, you know, I've been able to sort of outline that for you. In fact, that Hugo response, I believe, was South Carolina's largest National Guard call-out in their history, if I'm not mistaken.
You're right.
But in a general sense, I think a lot of people don't know that we do a whole lot more than storm response, the Guard does. The President recently just asked us to send 1,200 Guardsmen to the southwest border, California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas to help the Customs and Border Protection folks, while they try and hire 1,000 more agents, help them fill some roles down there with extra eyes and ears and that kind of thing. And we're in the process of actually, executing that order from the President. We have been since the 1st of July, and we should have 1,200 people on the border by, the 1st of October. And the unique thing about that is that it's being paid for by the federal government, and the governors and the adjutants general of those four states actually maintain command and control over those men and women who are volunteering for that mission. So it's a federal and a state joint effort to do something that I'm sure you've seen in the news of late. So that's one example of things we do that are beyond storm response. I think recently you saw in the news, situation in Greensboro, North Carolina, where a post office workers were overcome by something. And I think today in the news they're reporting that it was perhaps an insecticide, an open container of insecticide in that room. But the Guard has specialized teams called civil support teams. And we responded, a civil support team to that particular post office, and they've been in there trying to mitigate that situation and have discovered this insecticide. So they were able to rule out maybe things that are more concerning.